This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chukas, and in Parsha's Chukas, starting in chapter 20, we have the tragic story of Mei Meriva, literally translated as Waters of Strife, where Moshe and Aharon do something wrong and that causes them to die in the desert and not go in to Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Sha'arei Aharon brings literally, and I am not exaggerating, 25 versions of the mistake of Moshe and Aharon. In our shiur today, we will say some of the mistakes and we'll also add certain interpretations on exactly what the mistakes were. We will recount the story and emphasizing certain points that Meforshim take note and they claim that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake. First, on chapter 20, Pasuk number 1, we are told that Miriam died and she was buried, and after she died there was no water for the congregation. From here the Talmud learns that the waters for the Bnei Israel, for the Jewish people, came in the merit of Miriam. Because after Miriam died, there was no more waters for the Jewish people to drink until Moshe Rabbeinu had to do something that the waters came back. The next pasuk continues. They came and they gathered on Moshe Aharon and they quarreled with him, saying that we wish we were dead the way our brothers died. Why did you bring us to this desert to die, us and our animals? Why did you bring us up from Egypt to this evil place where you cannot plant and there is no figs, no grapes, no pomegranate, and there is no water to drink? An interesting note that since Rashi says that this was the new congregation, that everybody that was supposed to die, when it was decreed by the sin of the spies that that whole congregation will die in the desert, already died, and this is the last year of the desert, the people are not complaining that they want to go back to Egypt. They are complaining that they wanted to plant figs, grapes, and pomegranate, which are three of the fruits that Hashem glorified Eretz Yisrael with, the Shivas Aminim, part of the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and they are complaining that they cannot plant those fruits. In other words, in a way, they're already in a higher level that they want to go into Eretz Yisrael, where they'll be able to plant the Eino, Gefen, and Rimon, figs, grapes, and pomegranate. Going back to our Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu came to the door of Ohel Moed. He fell on their face and Hashem's glory appeared. On Pasuk number 8, we have Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu what to do. It starts that Hashem tells, take the staff. It does not specify which staff. We have two staffs. We have the staff of Moshe, which was used for the 10 plagues and also was used for the crossing of the sea, and then we have the staff of Aharon, which last week on Parshas Korach, chapter 17, describes how each tribe of the Jewish people took a staff, and Aharon took a staff representing the Levites. He put them in the holies, and the staff of Aharon sprouted, gave flowers, and bore almonds. And that staff was placed, as described on Pasuk number 25, in front of the testimony next to the Luchas, as a sign that Hashem chose Aharon, and as a sign that the rebellious people should know that Hashem chose the tribe of Levite, and their fights will end from in front of Hashem. Just a curious note, that there it describes the rebellion as lemishmeres leois livnei meri, to be as a safeguard, as a sign for the rebellious people, v'tachal tel noisem olai, and their fight should end from me. So we see that the staff of Aharon there was described as making stop the rebellion against Aharon or against the tribe of Levite. Going back to our Parsha again, Hashem tells, take the staff, it does not specify which staff, and gather the Eidah, the congregation. A small note that here Hashem is referring to the people that are supposed to be gathered as Ada. And Hashem is telling Moshe Aharon that after they gather the Ada, they should speak to the rock. It doesn't refer which rock we are talking about. Is that the original rock that Moshe Rabbeinu struck all the way back in Parshas Beshalach, chapter 17, pasuk number 16? Because there it's written that Hineni oimed lefonecha sham, I'll stay with you there alatzur, on the rock, bachoyrev, in chorev, vekisa batzur, and you should hit on the rock, vayotzu menu mayim, and water will come out. We see that in Parshas Beshalach, Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock. Is this the same rock that we are talking about here? Is that the same rock that Moshe Rabbeinu is required to speak to, or a different rock? And if that is the same rock, is there a significance that there it's called Tzur, and here the rock is called Hasela, the rock? Even though both translate the same thing, is there a significance that the name was changed from Tzur to Sela? Is this the rock that we are talking about? Then we have to understand how come there it's written the word Tzur, and here it's written the word Sala, even though both translate as rocks, but we have to understand why that is different, or is there a difference? Going back to our pasuk, Hashem tells Moshe and Aharon to speak to the Sela, to the rock, in the eyes of the Jewish people, and the rock will give its waters, and then you'll bring forth waters from the Sela, you'll give them to drink, them and their animals. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to do the action, it's written, Vayikach Moshe Samata Milifnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu took the staff that was in front of Hashem, Kasher Tzivau, like Hashem commanded. We are still not sure which staff Moshe Rabbeinu took. It is described as the staff that was Milifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, which seems to imply that was the staff of Aharon. As we mentioned before, Aharon's staff was in front of Hashem. But maybe Moshe Rabbeinu used to store the staff that he made the miracles also in front of Hashem. We don't know for sure which staff was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu took. But then Moshe Aharon, instead of just speaking to the rock and telling the rock to give its waters, Moshe Aharon gathered as a call, the congregation, but here the language changed from Ada to Kohol. Is there a significance in the change or not? El Pnei Asala, in front of the rock, and instead of giving the waters right away, as Hashem has specified, Moshe Rabbeinu starts with a speech, and he says, Vayoimru lohem, he tells them, Shimu no amoirim. Listen, please, O rebel ones. He calls the Jewish people rebels. We will see if that is the right thing to do or it's the wrong thing to do. Even though before we mentioned regarding Aharon's staff, Hashem said that put the staff in the holies to be le'os livnei Mary, to be a sign against the rebel ones that they should not argue and not fight against me again. In other words, Hashem himself calls the Jewish people v'nei Meri, children of rebel ones. And here Moshe Rabbeinu calls them Shimu no amoirim, listen to me, O rebel ones. So did he do right or did he do wrong? We will see depending on interpretation. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu says Shimu no amoirim, listen to me, O rebels. Hamin asela ze noitzi lochem moim. Are we going to be able to take water from this sela, rock? We don't know exactly which sela he's talking about, but let's assume that this is the sela that Hashem told them to talk to, and instead he asks a question mark. Are we going to be able to take water out of this sela? Another quick remark, it doesn't say Is Hashem going to be able to take water out of this cella? The argument was, are we going to be able to take water out from this cella? We here is referring to Moshe and Aharon. Pasuk 11 continues, Vayore Moshe's yodoi, Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hand, Vayach es ha-cella b'mateu pamoim, and he hit the rock with his staff twice, Vayetzu maim rabim, and a lot of waters came out, Vateisht oedo v'iram, the congregation and the animals drank. Here, again, it's written, Vateisht ho'edo, doesn't say that the coal drank, it says that the edo drank. Is there a significance in the change again back between edo and coal, or is it interchangeable? In other words, what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the rock, ended up hitting the rock twice, and after he hit it twice, the rock gave its waters. And then, in Pasuk number 12, Hashem comes to Moshe and Aharon, and he tells them, because you did not believe me to sanctify me, therefore you are not going to bring these people. And Hashem refers to the people as a kol hazeh, this congregation, el ha'aretz asher nasati lachem, to the land that I gave them. And the pasuk ends that this is Mei Meriva, the waters of strife that the Jewish people fought with Hashem, and Hashem became sanctified with them. We explained the psukim and we emphasized different parts of it because they are all relevant to the opinions of the different interpreters of the sin of Moshe and Aharon. And we are going to start with Rashi's interpretation. According to Rashi, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff and speak to the rock. But what happened is that after the death of Miriam, the rock that was rolling with them and giving them water every place they rested, hid between other rocks. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know where that rock was. Moshe Rabbeinu started looking for the rock that Hashem told him to speak to, the original rock that was Be'er HaShemiliyon, the well of Miriam. People see him looking at the rock. People started thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu knows the nature of certain rocks, that certain rocks give out water and certain rocks do not give out water. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu according to the Midrash, which expounds on Rashi's words. The people come to Moshe Rabbeinu and said that if it is a miracle from Hashem, what difference does it make if you give from this rock or that rock? Moshe Rabbeinu at that point got angry and said, Shimon Amorim, listen to me, rebels, can we give water from any rock that we want? We cannot give water from any rock that we want. We could only give water from the rock that Hashem told us to give. But nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu here was in doubt if to follow what the people are saying or continue going on looking and speaking to every rock until the proper rock will give water. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that in order to institute the same way as was before, he has to hit the rock. He hit the rock once and it started coming only little drops because he was supposed to speak to the rock. And they spoke to the wrong rock and did not give water. Therefore, they hit it and the rock started giving trickles of water until he hit twice, at which point the rock started giving enough water for them to drink and to give to drink to their animals. And the reason that he hit the rock instead of looking for each other rock to make sure that he's a proper rock is because the people got him angry. And because of that, since he did not sanctify Hashem's name, he was punished according to Rashi. And the difference if Moshe Rabbeinu talks to the rock or hits the rock is that Hashem wanted to give them a valuable message. They could have learned an important lesson from the rock, that if a rock which does not speak and does not hear and does not require to have parnassus, sustenance, nonetheless carries out the word of Hashem, then surely we Jews, that we speak and we hear and we do need parnassus and we do need sustenance, then for sure we are required to carry out the word of Hashem. But since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, that message was lost to the Jews. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu lost a chance to sanctify Hashem's name. Because of that, it was decreed from Moshe and Aharon to die outside of Eretz Yisrael and not to go into the land. The question that Maral asks, I understand that Moshe Rabbeinu should be punished because he got angry and he hit the rock twice. But why is Aharon punished? What did Aharon do that it should be decreed to him to be outside of Eretz Yisrael? So the Maral answers that Aharon's fault is that he allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the rock twice. Had Moshe Rabbeinu only hit the rock once, then Aharon wouldn't have a chance to stop him. But since Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock twice and Aharon did not stop him, even though Aharon heard what Hashem told him, because of that, Aharon was just as guilty as Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Gemara brings down on Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara there says, "Kol mi shebayado limchois veino moicha nenosh olav," that anybody who could protest, who could stop a crime, and he does not stop the crime, then he is punished for that crime. And here, since Aharon could have stopped Moshe Rabbeinu from hitting the rock the second time, therefore he is just as guilty as Moshe by hitting the rock. Therefore, he was punished in the same punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Mefarshim ask a question: how come on Parshas Beshalach, there Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu directly, Veikisa, that you should hit on the rock and the rock will give its waters? And how come here Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu only to speak to the rock and the rock will give its waters? Just a side note, the Rivash believes that this story of Hashem telling Moshe to speak to the rock and Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, and that story in Parshat Beshalach, where it's mentioned that Hashem told them to hit the rock, is one and the same. In the same way that there in Shemos, in Parshat Beshalach, chapter 16, it's written, "Daber alein lemoy," tell the Jewish people, "Ben Arabaim, in the afternoon, toichlu basa, you'll eat meat. Iva boiker, in the morning, tisbe ulachem, you'll get to eat bread." And the pasuk there is referring that quail will fall in the afternoon and in the morning you'll get manna, that is the bread. And Mefarshim ask a question: if the quail was falling in the afternoon, how come the Jewish people have to complain on Parshas Baaloischa that they want meat and Hashem sent quail? What are they complaining about if we had quail every night, as the pasuk in Parshas Beshalach mentions? And certain Mefarshim give different answers, that it only lasted for 30 days, or it came at certain periods. But the Rivash believes that both are the same story, that Hashem puts all the story in one place, and then Hashem specifies the details somewhere else, that the quail is going to fall, and the details are written on Parshas Baaloischa, on chapter 11, pasuk number 32, where the Jewish people complain about the quail and Hashem sends quail and people, while they're eating, they died. It's called Kivroi Satava. But nonetheless, Hashem already referred to it in Parshas Beshalach to tell you that he is going to bring quail. The same thing he says that the waters of Mei Meriva, that this story here is already referred to in shorthand by the story in the end of Beshalach, where Moshe Rabbeinu is told to hit the rock, and here it's going in deeper level, in more details, what really happened. And he brings proof to this idea that there, after we hit the rock on Parshas Beshalach, on chapter 17, pasuk number 7, it's written, "Vayikra Hashem Amoko Maso Meriva," that the place was called Maso and Meriva, "Ariv Bnei Yisrael," because of the fight of the Jewish people, "Val Nasoisom as Hashem," because they tested Hashem. And here we know it's written that the name of the place is called Mei Meriva, because the pasuk says Hema Mei Meriva. And we see that Maso and Meriva technically are the same place from the pasuk in Vezoi Sabrocha, chapter 33, pasuk number 8, where there it says, "Asher Nisiso Bemaso," that you tested them in Maso, "Teriveyu," you fought with him, "Al Mei Meriva," on the waters of Meriva. So you see that Maso and Meriva are the same place. So he says that this story and that story are one and the same. And according to the Rivash, Hashem originally told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff, and there is no reason to take the staff unless you are going to hit the rock. So therefore, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the rock. But what happened is that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the Jewish people, that the Jewish people, instead of praying to Hashem, came and complained against Hashem. Therefore, according to the Rivash, Moshe Rabbeinu said that, can we take out the water from this rock? And he hit the rock twice, and the people thought that it was a happenstance, that Hashem didn't command them to hit the rock. Hashem did not have the plan to give water from the rock originally, only because coincidentally Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hit the proper rock and the water came out of the rock. According to the Rivash, that is what happened here, and that's why we missed a chance to sanctify Hashem's name. In the same way that in Parshas Haman, on chapter 16, Pasuk number 22, the Pasuk there says that it was Friday, they collected double portion, and they came and they told Moshe Rabbeinu that they got double portion. Then in Pasuk 23, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, yes, Hu Asher Dibar Hashem, that's what Hashem said, that tomorrow is going to be Shabbos, and tomorrow is not going to fall. But Hashem had already previously told Moshe Rabbeinu that it's not going to fall on Shabbos, that on Friday he will get double portion. Because it's written on chapter 16, Pasuk number 5, V'hoyo b'yoyim ashishi v'chinu tzasha yoviyo v'yom mishne, and it will be double portion on Friday of what they gather every day. But Moshe Rabbeinu there was also angry, and because he was angry, he missed the chance to sanctify Hashem's name and telling him in advance that Friday Hashem will give double portion for Shabbos, because Shabbos the man will not fall. And like the Medrash says there, that Hashem criticized Moshe Rabbeinu, because when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Pasuk number 25, Adono me antem, till when you're going to refrain, this were mitzvois etoroisai, in keeping my Torah mitzvahs, the Medrash there says that Hashem was referring to Moshe Rabbeinu also, that he rebuked them for not telling the Jewish people that Friday you'll get a double portion of man. The same thing happened here according to the Rivash, that Moshe Rabbeinu should have come to the Jewish people and said, Hashem is going to give you water, and then hit the rock. But because he got angry, he says, Shimunu Amoirim, listen, O rebel ones. And he said, Amin Asela Zen, Noitzilochem Moim, can we take water out of this rock? And the people didn't know that Hashem told them to hit the rock and take water out. People thought that he's just knocking on the rock out of anger, and water came out by itself. They missed a chance to sanctify Hashem's name, and they thought it's happenstance. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. If you take a look according to the Rivash, it fits very well, because right there, after the story of the waters, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, Amalek comes. So according to the Rivash, the reason that the Jewish people did not believe in the miracle of the water is because Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, which caused the Jewish people to believe that this was a happenstance. We know that Amalek is one that believed that there is no Ashgach in the world, that everything happens as a happenstance. There's coincidences, there is no Ashgach Pratis, there's no supervision of the world. Therefore, right after the Jewish people lost the chance of believing totally in Hashem, Hashem has to give them another lesson, that Amalek comes and we have to fight Amalek, showing that there is Hashem in the world, that even nature follows the will of Hashem. So according to the Rivash, this story and that story is one and the same. But the question is, according to most interpreters, that these are true stories, that Hashem told them there to hit the rock and here to speak to the rock, what transpired, what is the difference between one and the other? So the simple answer they give is that there, it's Parshas Beshalach, is right after the Jewish people just came out of Egypt. At that point, they had a slave mentality, and the only way that a slave could learn is by the rod. And therefore, the people weren't yet ready to believe that they could do something just by telling them, because they are so used to having the rod to force them to do. So Hashem figured that the time to teach them that just by speaking to them they could do and they could change their ways, it's too soon. So Hashem at that point allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the rock, and the Jewish people saw that, and they saw that the rock could change his nature and give water, but only by the rod. In other words, there are two levels to serve Hashem. One level of serving Hashem is serving Hashem meyira, out of fear of punishment. That is not the optimum level of service of Hashem, but nonetheless, that is a way to get you used to serve Hashem, and eventually you will serve Hashem me'ahava, out of love of Hashem. So there too, Hashem knew that just came out of Egypt, where they are in the 49th level of Tumah, of impurity. At that point, Hashem did not expect them to serve him out of love. So Hashem wanted to show him that you require to serve him out of yira, out of fear of punishment, that if you do not serve him, you do not follow the will of Hashem, you will get hit in the same way that the rock got hit and gave his waters. So they would get the message that they require to serve Hashem out of fear of punishment. But now that the Jewish people are 40 years in the desert and they are in a loftier level, as we mentioned, that they are asking to plant the ein of a gefen verimoin, figs, grapes and pomegranate, which means that they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. They have no plans to going back to Egypt. At this point, Hashem wants to teach them a valuable lesson that you don't have to hit anymore for you to follow, that you could just follow the will of Hashem and break your own will without Hashem punishing you, that just because Hashem told you to do something, you are able to do it in the same way that the rock is able to change his ways just because Hashem told him to do. So too, you'll know that if you follow the words of Hashem, then you will be able to change your ways and Hashem won't be required to hit you. In other words, you could serve Hashem out of love, not because of fear of punishment. But since Moshe Rabbeinu here hit the rock, he was punished for hitting the rock because he missed this invaluable lesson that you could change your ways just by Hashem talking to you and by listening to the words of Hashem. Another question that Mefarshim asked, according to Rashi, that Rashi says that the mistake was that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak to the rock and hit the rock. They ask, why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff at all? If Moshe Rabbeinu only needs to speak to the rock, why does Hashem tell him to take the staff? As a matter of fact, a lot of Mefarshim believe that the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu was not hitting the rock. But according to Rashi, what was the point of Moshe Rabbeinu taking the staff? If he's not going to use it, why take it? Now, as we mentioned before, there is a machlokes really what staff this was. So if I say that this is the staff of Aharon, which is mentioned that it was made for a sign Livnei Meri against rebellion and against arguing against Hashem, we could say that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to show this staff, then like that the people will see that they already rebelled and Hashem already proved them wrong, then give up this rebellion. And then Moshe Rabbeinu just has to speak to the rock. So Moshe Rabbeinu uses the staff to counteract the rebellion, because the staff was made Le'ois Livnei Meri as a sign for the children of the rebellious one that they shouldn't argue and fight against Hashem. That is the reason for using that staff, that hopefully as soon as the Jewish people see the staff, they will calm down and they'll realize that Hashem is with them and Hashem is capable to making miracles, and he could make the staffs bloom and give fruits. So too he could make water come out of anything. And if I say that this staff was the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, which Moshe Rabbeinu made the miracles in Egypt and he crossed the sea, then the Jewish people will look at the staff and recognize that Hashem could bend nature, he could change and make supernatural things. So too, they will know that Hashem could make water come out of anything and they won't worry. So Hashem was trying with the staff to quiet the Jewish people. But it was not meant that Moshe Rabbeinu should take the staff and hit with it the rock. Sefer Chanukah Satorah asks here an important question, and with that question we'll answer our question: what's the difference that in Parshas Beshalach Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and here he did not have to hit the rock? So Sefer Chanukah Satorah asks a question: how come Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for hitting the rock? The Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Vav Omed Beis, explains that Moshe Rabbeinu had to hit the rock, because the Gemara there says, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Kol she'osa Avram al-Machal Shoros ba'atzmoy, that everything that Avram Avinu did to the angels when they came to visit him in Parshas Vayera on Bereshis chapter 18, after Avram's circumcision, Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Levonov ba'atzmoy, Hashem did himself to the children of Avraham, meaning that we know that Hashem acts towards us, midah keneged midah, measure for measure. In other words, the way that we act towards our fellow men, Hashem acts toward us. So whatever Avraham Avinu decided to do to the angels, which looked like men by himself, Hashem did to the children of Avraham, meaning to the Jewish people in the desert, by himself. And whatever Avraham Avinu decided to do to the angels al yedei shliach, through a messenger, in other words, where he didn't do himself, he had somebody else do for those people, for those angels, Hashem decided to do through a messenger for the Jewish people in the desert. And the Gemara there gives examples. On chapter 18, Pasuk number 7 says, Velabokar rots Avram, that Avram ran to the cattle, which means that Avram himself ran to the cattle to bring meat. Therefore, it's written on Bamidbar, chapter 11, Pasuk number 31, Veruach Nasa Meis Hashem, and a wind traveled from Hashem and brought quail from the sea. Because Avram Avinu gave meat to the angel by himself, therefore Hashem by himself took the quail and brought to the Jewish people. The other example is from Pasuk number 8, Vaikach Chema V'Cholov, that Avram Avinu took milk and butter, and by the way, they bring down that it's written V'Ekhopas Lechem, and now we'll fetch a piece of bread, which means that Avram Avinu had intention to bring the bread himself. Therefore, when it came time for the Jewish people to get bread via the man, it's written on Shemos, chapter 16, Pasuk number 4, Hashem tells Moshe, Hineni mamti lochem lechem min hashamayim, that I'm making rain to you bread directly from heaven. Because Avram Avinu went by himself and got the bread, or wanted to get the bread, so Hashem in return gives us directly bread from heaven. And the Gemara there brings another couple examples of things that Avram Avinu did by himself, and Hashem in return did the same thing to the Jewish people. And then the Gemara goes and brings one example that Avram Avinu did through a messenger, and Hashem did it also through a messenger. And the example the Gemara brings is in chapter number 18, Pasuk number 4. There it says, Yukach no me'at maim, that Avram Avinu tells the angels, let a little bit of water be brought and you wash your feet, which means that Avram Avinu didn't by himself bring the water, because he said, let water be brought, and be brought is meant by a messenger. Therefore, Hashem, when it came time to give us the water, Hashem doesn't give us directly waters from heaven, as he gave us the man. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Veikisa Batzur, that you should hit the rock, the story on Parshas Beshalach, where Moshe Rabbeinu is required to hit the rock to give water for the Jewish people. Sefer Chanukah Satorah asks, we see that Hashem is required to bring the water through a messenger. How come here in our Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is punished by hitting the rock? Since Hashem has to bring it through a messenger, there is no other choice but Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock. Sefer Chanukah Satorah first introduces the idea, which is also brought in Mishneh Berurah, Simen Tov Kof Chos, Ifkot Nitches, where there the Mishneh Berurah brings down that Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, that the Shechina used to speak through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. As a side note, this is how come we answer that Moshe Rabbeinu was not healed from his speech impediment during Matan Torah, during the time of the revelation of Sinai. The Gemara brings down that during the time of Matan Torah, during the time of revelation, Hashem healed all the six people of the Jewish people, that anybody that could not see was able to see, because says the whole nation saw the voices, and anybody who could not hear could hear, and anybody who could not speak could speak, because it's written that the whole nation said together, Nase, we will do, v'nishma, and will hear. Since everybody said, obviously everybody could speak, and everybody heard, then obviously Hashem healed everybody. The only person that was not healed of his speech impediment was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Mefarshim struggled to find out how come he was not healed. Mefarshim answered that it was a practical idea that Moshe Rabbeinu should not be healed from his speech impediment. Since we know that the Jewish people always doubt their leaders, Hashem wanted that the Jewish people should know when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking his own words and when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking the words of Hashem. Everybody could clearly see when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking the words of Hashem. Since Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, since Hashem spoke directly through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, that means that if he spoke without any speech impediments, the people knew that Hashem is speaking now. That it's not Moshe Rabbeinu that is speaking, that Hashem is the one speaking now. But if Moshe Rabbeinu spoke with a speech impediment, then everybody knew that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's own word. Like that, the people will never suspect Moshe Rabbeinu of creating his own laws, because when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks without a speech impediment, they know clearly that Hashem is the one that gave these laws. Therefore, since Hashem speaks through Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot tell the rag originally in Parshas Beshalach to give its water, because Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the rag is tantamount of Hashem speaking to the rag, and we know that the water has to be brought through a messenger. Therefore, there is no choice, but we have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to do an action, like that the action will be through a messenger, because Moshe Rabbeinu just speaking to the rock is not through a messenger. It's like Hashem speaking to the rock himself. And Hashem wants to give the lesson that everything that we do towards our fellow man, Hashem does exactly towards us. But here the Medrash brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, because the Medrash on Yalkut Shimoni, Parshas Matos, Remes Tov Shin Pei Vav, brings down in name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that in three places Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and because of his anger, he ended up making a mistake. And one of the three places is our place, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Shimu no amoirim, listen to me, O rebels. By Moshe Rabbeinu calling the Jewish people rebels, obviously he was angry. Therefore, he made a mistake and he hit the rock. Sefer Chanukah HaTorah says that we have a rule regarding somebody who is angry. The Rambam in Shmoyne Perakim, Perek Zion, says, Kol HaKoyes, anybody who is angry, Im Noviu, Neviosu Mistalkes Imenu, that if he's a prophet, his prophecy leaves him, because anger pushes away the Shechina, the Divine Presence, and the Shechina cannot be next to an angry person. Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at the Jewish people. As soon as he became angry, obviously the Shechina left him. Once the Shechina leaves him, now Moshe Rabbeinu speaking is not considered as Hashem speaking. Since the Shechina is not there, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu speaking is he himself speaking. And since Moshe Rabbeinu is already somebody else, is a shliach, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu at this juncture could speak to the rock and he doesn't have to hit the rock. Because now, since he got angry, the Shechina left him. Once the Shechina leaves him, then he is an independent person and Hashem no longer speaks through his mouth. He is a messenger of Hashem. Now he doesn't need to hit the rock. He could actually speak to the rock and it's considered bringing it through a messenger. Therefore, according to Sefer Chanukah Satorah, since Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, that anger caused the Shekhinah to leave, and because the Shekhinah left him, then it wasn't necessary anymore to hit the rock with the staff in order for it to be considered through a messenger, because he doesn't have to do an action. He could actually speak to the rock, because that is like a messenger speaking to the rock. And since he did not speak to the rock, he hit the rock, therefore he was punished. Comes out, according to Sefer Chanukah Satorah, that originally Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take the staff because Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to hit the rock because he was supposed to be a messenger. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu, Bali Chlalkas, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and once he gets angry, he doesn't need to hit the rock anymore because now he could speak to the rock and that is considered a messenger. Bali Chlalkas, he came to the mistake that he thought that he still has to hit the rock. And since he made the mistake, he was punished, because the lesson that Hashem does, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, was lost. From here we see how important it is for us not to get angry, that even Moshe Rabbeinu, because he got angry, he got punished, and it was decreed that he shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Also, we see how important it is for us not to deviate of what Hashem tells us one iota, and also we take the message that Hashem wanted to give us, that even a rock follows the will of Hashem, for sure we have the capability and we have the potential and the ability to follow the will of Hashem. And Hashem Yisborach should help that if we follow the will of Hashem, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.